Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, Faithful? How is your Victory Monday going? Is the coffee better? Is the breakfast sweeter? And does everybody just look better to you, or is it just me? After that game last night, just wow. Game of the year, definitely for the 49ers. I would argue for the NFL and like the weight of that game in a primetime spot. Man, it was just so cool. But we are going to continue fighting. There's a lot more to cover. We're going to be talking about 49ers Seahawks all week. We're going to be talking about all the different playoff scenarios. That's the title of today's show. Ranking every single one of the playoff scenarios. And shout out to Nick Wagner. You know, he went through and laid out. We're going to talk about what has happened for the 49ers to be one seed. That's the easiest. The fifth seed, the sixth seed, those are really the three options. What that looks like, offensive grades, defensive grades, kind of the issues with certain parts of the 49ers kind of team with where they are. Even though everything is still on the table to be the best team in the NFC, there's still some issues. There is not a complete team out there, I would argue, in the NFL. But, you know, we're not really concerned with the AFC. We'll deal with that whenever you got to deal with that. The NFC is really all that matters. And there is not a team that the 49ers cannot beat. And if you look at just the current situation and what they've done this year, the 49ers and the current NFC seedings have already beat the number one seed, the number two seed, the number four seed, and the number six seed in the playoffs. Like those seeded teams, they've already beat those teams this season. 1, 2, 4, and 6. They've already beat them. Now you go out and you win this last game, then you're the number one. So whatever it is you feel about the 49ers, just understand they're right where they want to be. They are right where they want to be. You've already played 4 out of the 7 teams in the playoffs. Some of them you played twice. And so that is there. Everything the 49ers want is just right there. And yeah, I'm with you, Bobo. I'm still high from yesterday's win. That was just an incredible game, man. Shout out to Daryl. He said, let's mother, father, go. I love it. I know what you're trying to say there, but yeah, I love it. Sometimes kids listen. It's what it is. Still having to check my blood pressure hourly. That game was just wild. There was no point in the game where I felt calm. There was no point in the game where I was just like, oh yeah, we got this. Even though the Niners were ahead for the majority of the game, it was just one of those games. The Bears have played that way all season long. 6 come from behind victories in the final 2 minutes. Most in NFL history. For the Bears. Not this time, though. Not this time. SF 49ers. I just saw the last play. We only rushed 3 and had a spy with Witters. The last play of the game won the game, obviously. And, man, nobody's talking about how Ben Johnson completely ruined the clock management situation and gave his team one shot to win the game. Like, nobody's talking about that. Like, the horribly mismanaged clock in the first half, horribly mismanaged clock in the second half, and it cost his team. Ben Johnson's incredible and might be the second best play caller in the NFL. We knew who the first one is. But he's definitely top 3. You want to put McVay in there, Andy Reid, whatever, I don't care. He's definitely top of the top. He did not manage that game well. And I have a big issue because the locker room interviews with Tatum Bethune, he said on record, yeah, that's not the play that was called. D. Winters and Tatum Bethune decided not to run the play that was called. They were supposed to blitz. They pulled back and just stayed in coverage. I hate that. As a coach, now the play worked, so like you're good there. Tatum Bethune and D. Winters are not good enough to call their own plays in the huddle at any point. Like literally both of them are on the verge of replacement level players at this point. Tatum Bethune's great against the run. Can't cover to save his life. Composure's not good. Free plays, whatever, whatever, whatever. And D. Winters, good gosh, gave up 6 catches on 7 targets. No missed tackles, which that's kind of suspect to me from PFF because I recall 2 times he had his hands on players that did not go down. But neither D. Winters has just been an issue for me all season. The pick 6 and, you know, whatever else. But, like, let's be honest. Tatum Bethune and D. Winters calling their own play at that moment, that's a major red flag for me. And I personally do not want the long-term 49ers having anything to do with those two players. Not as starters, anyway. I really don't. I don't mind them being backups, whatever else. I want Nick Martin to be the Will. I want Fred Warner to be the Mike. One of those guys fighting for Sam, I'm cool with that. Pretty much everybody on this defense outside of the young pups, I want nobody that, like, I got to have. D. Winters, no. D. Winters, no. He played great whenever he's next to Fred Warner. Fred Warner went out. He's been bad. Had 1 good game last week. That's about it. Pick 6 was incredible. But like that, there's some major red flags there. There's some major, major, major red flags there. D. Winters just has the football IQ. It's non-existent. Anyway, I'm not trying to be negative, but that's crazy to me from a coaching standpoint. I'm not operating with those types of guys. I'm curious what those meetings were like this morning. Whew, man. But in the positive side, you get guys like Tonjes holding it down in the tight end room and like goes out there, catches the opening touchdown. Second drive, goes out and blocks for Brock Purdy for his run and touchdown. The third down conversion, fourth down conversion. Like just doing all these things that he has no business doing repeatedly. And you look at, again, PFF scores are a disaster, but a snapshot. And you look at, like, Luke Farrell, the highest-rated player on the offense with a 91.8 grade, highest run-blocking grade of anybody that played for either team. Luke Farrell was awesome. The film said that as well. Played great. Not somebody you're going to throw the ball to. Stats aren't there, whatever else. Second-highest-rated player, Jake Tonjes, 86.7. Now, just in those things alone, like Tonjes is incredible. And the 49ers have to find a way to get 85 and 88 out there at the same time. You have to. You have to, you have to, you have to. I understand that Kyle Shanahan wants Kittle and a blocking tight end out there at the same time, right? That's Luke Farrell. You got to find some ways to get Tonjes out there with 85. You just have to. Have to, have to. Hey, I don't even care. This is a little sacrilegious to even say. I'm going to say it. If you got to put Kittle as the blocking tight end and Tonjes at the move spot, I'm okay with that. Like, I would prefer that over Kittle getting all the routes and having Luke Farrell block. I would rather Kittle blocks better than Luke Farrell in every way, shape, or form, and then have Tonjes. Like, you got to find a way to get Tonjes out there. He's too big a weapon. Too big a weapon. Got to. Now, here's my beef with PFF, which there's a lot. And I appreciate what they do because the snap-by-snap analytical grade, again, I've talked about this in the past. Whenever I coached, we did the same things with our players. We sit down with a graded sheet, and you do a +2 to -2 on every single play. And so you'd have this, we'd print out these basically Excel spreadsheets with defense or offense and the play that was called, and then they would grade themselves. So I'm sitting there watching film with our linebackers. Everybody has their sheets, and they're grading themselves. And if they didn't play, then you're grading the person in front of you. You're coming out with some type of analytical approach, all of us. And we watch through the tape together, and everybody grades. I already graded everybody beforehand. And then once they're done, they turn in their sheets with what their final scores are. And I would say, well, this is the score I had. So let's look at the discrepancies and figure out what you did right, what you did wrong. And as you talk through it with the clicker and all that stuff, a lot of it makes sense. PFF does that. And that adds valuable, analytical, whatever. But at the end of the day, you got to play the game. The EPA football nerds contribute, but it's flawed. And if there's anything more flawed than this, Brock Purdy had an 81 grade. Brock Purdy's grade should have been a 98.8. Yeah, he had a couple negative plays. Brock Purdy was a badass mamma jamma. That dude, if that doesn't get a 90 grade, I don't know what the hell game you're watching. I don't understand that. Christian McCaffrey had an 81 grade. What the fuck, man? Like, what? Whatever your system is wrong. It's wrong. Like, I don't care. Whatever your grade is, it is wrong. Like, Brock Purdy had a 68.1 run grade. What? Dude rushed for two touchdowns, rushed for a third, you know, 32 conversion at a very, like, no. Whatever it is that you designed, wrong. Wrong. And I ain't saying throw the baby out with the bathwater or whatever else. I'm just saying that's terrible. It's terrible. Oh, man, Bobo, the man, he knows how to get to my heart. I want to sweep Seattle so bad for the Navarro Bowman game. Every single time the 49ers play Seattle, I go straight there. Navarro Bowman's my second favorite 49er of all time. Number two, Jerry Rice, Navarro Bowman. That's it. My favorite jersey that I own is the old black and red throwbacks that I got Navarro to autograph at one of our events because we've had him out so many. Couldn't have him out this year because now he's coaching for the Chargers. But, like, I love Navarro Bowman. You see him interact with the fans. Like, one of the most unheralded 49ers greats. Should have won Defensive Player of the Year, borderline Hall of Fame career. Hopefully, I love Navarro Bowman. What Seattle fans did to him, and I know it was only like a couple. I don't like to blanket all the Seattle fans into this. Throwing popcorn on that injured player being carted off. Man, that's just Bush League. That's like Philadelphia Eagles are watching that going, ooh, that's not cool. Like, that's how bad it is. And so anytime I see 49ers Seattle, I go to Bowman, one, and then I go to Dre Greenlaw, two. Those are the two things that I see. And I'm like, man, you know, I bought my rivalries Fred Warner jersey, and they're wearing those jerseys this Saturday. But I'm like, do I wear the old Bowman autograph jersey, right? Like, to represent. And so I don't know. I'm going to put this in the chat. Which jersey should I wear? The new Fred Warner rivalry jersey, which the 49ers are going to be wearing, some of the coolest uniforms out there. Or do I wear the old black and red throwbacks, Navarro Bowman autograph jersey, which is my favorite jersey to wear. It's my favorite jersey that I own. I've got the Jerry Rice one that I got becoming a fan, and then I got the Bowman autographed. Oh, I need y'all's help. Y'all got to decide today. Do I wear the Warner new to match the team, or do I wear the throwback Navarro Bowman autographed? And I do wear that because I wore that jersey unautographed for so many seasons, and then he came to an event, and I freaking took it off my back, and he signed it. I put it right back on, so it's already been worn. So it's not like a collector's item or whatever else. So y'all got to let me know this. I'm scrolling down. Ooh, wow. I fell way behind in the chat. Let's see here. We got to see. Yeah, Bo was great. We've got to have this. Popped. Yeah, Sid, I'm still mad about that. I love it. I love it. Niners debuting their black jerseys for the faithful. Yeah, I can't wait. Wear the new one. Bowman, 109%. Yatsik, my man. Appreciate you, brother. You wear Bo, the new Fred. Uh-oh. Wear the new rivals. We've got a debate. This is not good. Old black ones were the worst. I love the old black ones. I like the new black ones more. Don't be wrong. New one just because Bowman shouldn't be worn. What? Bowman should be. I ain't going to block nobody, but, like, man, we getting close. If Fred was on that field, you wear Fred's. He's not playing. He's getting close, though. Throwback has more meaning. It does. I've been through some things. Wear the new one. Ooh, it's a relic. Don't wear it. No. I do not believe in that. Black and red Navarro Bowman without question. Dude, everybody is. This is like a 50-50. I'm going to have to put this out on the Twitter machine. We'll see. Right here from Mamie. The Bowman incident is why I will forever hate Seahawks. All of them. If Fred was on the field, you wear that one. I agree. He's not there. Dude, I love this. That's why you wear the old dude. Okay, we're not settling this one today. This is going to be an ongoing debate, and it means a lot to me. I don't know. Do y'all go through this? And again, I'm a fan, so, like, whatever. Whenever I'm packing for these trips, right, or going to a game, like, I've got all these jerseys, which I'm very thankful and I'm very lucky. And I'm like, all right, which one do I want? Okay, CMC, Brock Purdy. Do I want the Kittle? Do I want the Bowman? Do I go old school? Like, what am I trying to do here? Patrick Willis. But, like, and it's thought out, right? And then it's like, well, do I wear the old ones to remind everybody of how great we are and the game that he had against this team? What, like, it's a whole thing. Like, I have to set up, like, a pros and cons, whatever, just to pick what I wear. And I usually wear a jacket over anyway, so I don't think it matters to anybody else. But like somebody said, Jake Moody. Yeah, I'm gonna miss me with that one. it's what it is. But yeah, it's just like, oh, what do you do here? And yeah, I like the white jerseys, but I don't wear them often because we always tailgate, and then you get something on your white jersey. That's not cool. The black jersey is a little more forgiving, especially like I'm setting up all these tubs and I'm freaking serving food and beer and running over and setting up tables. And so like I always get too dirty. So I can't wear the white ones, especially whenever we're hosting events. But oh, look at this. When undecided, I ask my husband. Joe made it in the chat today. That makes me happy. Shout out to Joe and Sin. Power freaking couple. Power. Yeah, I'm not wearing 15. I do not have a 15. My dealer where I get all my autographed jerseys that we give away on the road trips, like, oh, asked me one time. He's like, hey, do you want any Michael Crabtree autographed jerseys? I was like, nope, keep them. He's like, I could just throw them in. Keep them. Don't want them. Do not want them. do not want. There are certain players John Chapman's not a fan of. And sadly, number 15, he falls into that category. Like, B.A. and Michael Crabtree are birds of a feather. I don't think they know each other. I don't think whatever. Those are just not players that represent anything that I consider fandom or being a 49er. Like, not there. Not there. Now, T.O. was a little wild and crazy, but, like, he had so many positive moments. So that one's a little bit different. But, yeah, I'm staying out of there. Miss me with that. I don't want that one, man. I don't want that. Sometimes you get some of these jerseys like, oh, that's kind of cool. Some of them you see and you're just like, no, I don't want Ronnie Bell autographed jersey. I don't want Jake Moody autographed jersey. I don't want Trey Lance autographed jersey. I don't want. And yeah, like I'm not one of those once a Niner, always a Niner guys. No. You force yourself off this team. You force your way out of my closet. Like, hey, I don't want your damn jersey, man. I do not want it. I'm out. I am out. What about our new number 15? Yeah, I don't have those. There's not a lot of Juwan Jennings. I think I had one. We gave it away to a kiddo. I think that was in Seattle 2 years ago. But yeah, I don't see a lot of autographed Juwan Jennings stuff, sadly. But that would be cool to give away. He's the freaking man. He's the freaking man. He's been playing awesome. Leads the 49ers in interceptions. Had a rough start, but he's come a long way. And I freaking love it. I love it. Right here, Camstad. Victory Monday showing the old school black. I freaking love it, dude. You guys are awesome. You guys are freaking awesome. So let's do this. Let's talk about what the best matchups are. I ranked 1 through 8. Every single possible playoff matchup. There's only 8 teams that are available to the playoffs, right? 7 teams get in for the NFC. Still undecided between the Panthers and Bucks. I ranked 1 through 8. All of those, including the 1 seed. That one's going to be really, really high on the list, obviously. But I do have to tell everybody, we have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout tomorrow, Tuesday. Tuesday, it's our second one this month. We're going to get together for an hour, 5 p.m. Pacific time. The Zoom links have been posted over on our Patreon channel and also on the 49ersrush.com. Posted those this morning. The Zoom link's up on there. So once you sign up or whatever, come join us. 5 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow. This is the time we get together and hang out with you. And if you haven't joined yet, 7-day free trial, go sign up. Come hang out for the Zoom hangout. Talk some Niners. We'll be going through all kinds of stuff. Cancel afterwards. Won't cost you a penny. We don't hound you. That's not who we are. But if you like what we do, stick around. That's how we pay the bills, the Chapman household, for all the support over there. And if you're a better, we post all of our bets once a week as well. We finished 4 of 9. We missed our teaser bets this week, which is rough. So it was kind of a wash. We lost a little bit. We've only had 2 negative weeks out of 17 this year. We have done very, very well betting. This one was a little bit of a wash. But if you want to bet with us and you haven't yet, we post all those bets every single week over on the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon. And we always bet the same place right here. Guys, we have been working with MyBookie for almost 8 years now. And it doesn't matter what it is that you want to bet on. You want a casino, you want to bet on football, draft, over unders, player props, basketball, baseball, politics, you name it. They got it all. So go to MyBookie, use promo code 49ers, and you're going to get a bet back bonus, which means when you bet something and you click to opt in and you don't win that bet, You get it all back. Comes with a one-time rollover, which is like nothing. And again, this is a site that you can trust because we've been using them all the time. And if you're one of those people that's just like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to find the stuff, whatever else. Well, we take care of that for you as well. Over on the 49ersRush.com and our Patreon page, we post our weekly season-long draft bets, everything 49ers, every single week. We post them on Friday or Saturday, depending on the game. And so, and we walk you through. We have how-to videos, how to do a teaser bet, how to do parlays, all that different stuff. So if you want to get involved and you want to check it, bet anything, anytime at MyBookie and use promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS for your bet back bonus. You're in charge. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records in the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Well, Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. They also give you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep your login safe, and spam call protection to cut off scammers. That's my favorite thing. I used to get these calls all the time. It's been cut. It's done since I signed up with Aura. So if your identity is ever stolen, you are backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover quickly. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That is enough time for Aura to start removing all your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today, aura.com/remove, and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's Aura, aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
All right, let's go through. There are 8 teams that are available, right? So 7 with the Niners, 8, like if you're counting the Niners. But here is the number 1 through number 8 ranking of what I think is the best for the 49ers. Obviously, the number 1 is you beat Seattle, you get the bye week. That's best case scenario, right? So that's number 1. Now, this is not so much who I want to play or who I don't want to play. This is who I think the Niners match up with the best out of the other teams, okay? Number 1, the bye week. Number 2, the Panthers. Not a serious football team. They're in horrible division. They match up very poorly with the 49ers. Somehow this defense kept them to single-digit points with Curtis Robinson starting. Unbelievable. The Panthers are just Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and just it's crazy how they beat the Rams and a couple other quality teams. But the Panthers, as far as just a per-game snapshot, that is the best. And we'll go over the scenarios where that could possibly happen. Being a 1, 5, or 6 seed, that's really all that's on the table for the 49ers now. Number 3 would be the Bucs. The Bucs beat the 49ers earlier this year. We were there. That game sucked. That's where Fred Warner got hurt. But the Bucs, they're 1-7 down the stretch. Defense isn't working like it is. Baker's not playing like it is. Now, he can get hot at any second, but the Bucs are just not – they're gelling at the wrong time. They jailed earlier, and now they are just not great. The fan base is going after the coach. Players got some issues. It's a whole thing. So 1 bye week, 2 Panthers, 3 Bucks. Number 4 would be the Packers. Now, sadly, there is pretty much no way the 49ers could play the Packers in the wild card round because the Packers are locked into that 7 seed. But if the 49ers win against Seattle, become the 1 seed, and the Packers win the wild card round, because the NFL playoffs recede every week. They're the 7 seed. If they win, the 49ers are the 1 seed. That's your matchup. Packers at 49ers in Santa Clara for the divisional round. Sign me up. Oh, my gosh. I would love that. Number five, the Eagles. I do not respect what the Eagles are putting out there. Obviously, their defense is great. Their run game is great. Their offensive line is great. I get that. And Jalen Hurts is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I understand that. Defending champions. But let's be real. This team that's marching out there right now, even though they won the division, worst division in the NFL, they're just not serious contenders. You know, I was texting my boy Charles, and I didn't tell him I was going to say this, but like I asked him, I was like, dude, who do you want to play? He said, I don't care. If we're going to repeat, we have to beat anyone we face, period. I want all the smoke. But like the team, I don't know, man. You got A.J. Brown walking down the tunnel after the game with Nick Cringe Sirianni rolling his eyes like, golly, this dude's insane. I don't know. It's hard to repeat, but I do not. That defense is the reason, and the run game is the reason why I'm like, that's why I put them down a little bit. Number six is the Seahawks, who we play this week. Number seven, the Bears. I do not want to play the Bears again. That offense, Ben Johnson against Robert Saleh, it's never been great for the 49ers, even though you just beat them. Yes, you could beat them again. Are you going to start the game off throwing a pick six? Probably not. Are you going to spot them 7 points again? Probably not. Can you beat the Bears? Hell yes. But again, they're my second least favorite matchup, and dead last is the Rams. Can you beat the Rams? Yes, you can. Have you beat the Rams this year? Yes, you have. But whenever I'm looking at their offense versus our defense, it's my least favorite matchup of all these. Does that mean I'm scared of the Rams? No. You have to rank 1 through 8. Somebody's got to be the most difficult. I think that's there. The 49ers' weakness is secondary and pass rush. That is perfect for Matt Stafford. So, again, 1 bye week, 2 Panthers, 3 Bucks, 4 Packers, 5 Eagles, 6 Seahawks, 7 Bears, 8 Rams. That is the order of, in my opinion, John Chapman, which what the hell does that mean? It's not worth anything. That's the order for me on ranking who's the best and worst matchups out of the teams available right there. So you want the bye week or Panthers, Bucks, all the way down. Do not want to play the Bears or Rams out of the teams that are available. And Sin agrees with me. I do not want to see the Bears. I want someone else to take them out. That's where it is. The Bucks, they gave up. What's up, Sonia? How are you? The Packers have a high ceiling. They do, but I ain't seen it in a long time, and their backup quarterback's playing better than their starting quarterback. Brock Purdy has the same amount of touchdown passes as Jordan Love in 5 games. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, that defense is good, but it's not as good as it used to be. And obviously, they've had some major injuries, and you know, the guy they traded for, he's at Micah Parsons. He's out, all that stuff. But, I'm just, man, I don't want that. Right here, Joel says, nope, don't want to play the Bears. Ben, my man. I always prefer to play a team we haven't played already, but it's almost unavoidable this tournament. Yeah, you played 1, 2, 4, 6. You played Panthers. You played Bucks. You played Seahawks. You played Rams. You played 4 of the 7 teams that are vying for those final 7 spots, or 6 opposite of you. Have to see how that kind of goes. Bears are locked at 2. Not necessarily. The Bears can fall to 3. So the seedings, the 49ers win year 1. Let's go through this part now, okay? Let's talk this out. The Bears are currently the second seed at 11-5, but they play the Packers. If the Bears lose and the Eagles win, the Eagles would jump to 2, and the Bears would fall to 3, which means Niners lose, Bears lose, Eagles win. Very possible you travel to Chicago for the wild card round. Not what the 49ers want. Not what I want. Not what I want. Now, I saw somebody say this, you know, in the chat. John, I support you and all, but I'm sorry, no more road trips this year. I don't want a road trip. I want the 49ers to win the 1 seed, host all their games at home, and then I'm done traveling. I did 9 trips this year. I'm tired. I'm tired, boss. John Coffey over here. I'm tired. Having said that, if the Niners go to Chicago, I'm going. I love that city. It's going to be cold as hell, but I'm going to host events. We're going to tailgate outside. We're going to go to Soldier Field. That's going to be, you know, Game of the Year Part 2. Hopefully the Niners win it, but I will be there. I ain't going to Philly. And that's probably the most likely situation, one seed or travel to Philly. But, yeah, like, if we do have a road trip, I ain't going to Philly. I ain't hosting an event there ever again. But I will go to Chicago. I'll be out there freezing my butt off. I don't give a damn if that chance is available. But I want the one seed, right? I want the one seed. That's what I want. But the Bears can fall to the three seed very easily. They lose, Eagles win. And they just announced that, you know, for playoff seeding, that it looks like Josh Johnson is going to be starting for the Commanders, who's playing against the Eagles. So, like, yeah, we've seen that before, right? Like, now you're going to piss me off. I don't even want to think about that. So let's talk about where the 49ers fit, okay? Shout out to Nick Wagner of ESPN. He put this out. The clearest 49ers pathway. There's really only three options. First seed, fifth seed, sixth seed. That's it. First seed, you beat Seattle, it's done. It's so simple. Nothing else controls. You beat Seattle, you're now the one seed. You get the bye week. You have home field throughout the playoffs, and you host the Super Bowl in your own venue. That's simple. Now the fifth seed. You lose to Seattle, and the Rams win one game. Here's where it gets weird, right? Rams either beat Atlanta, but lose to Arizona or lose both. And really, that Arizona game is all that matters. Because if the Rams, let's say the 49ers lose to Seattle, the Rams lose to Atlanta, but beats Arizona. The Rams and Arizona play tonight, right? Or Rams and the Falcons play tonight. So let's say somehow the Rams lose to the Falcons, but beat Arizona. 49ers would still be in that situation. They would fall. You have to have the Rams lose to Arizona to get that five seed. So the two most likely situations, one, 49ers one seed, or lose, and you're probably the sixth seed. If you're that sixth seed, you're traveling to Philly most likely. But if you lose and the Rams lose to Arizona, then you would be the fifth seed. And that is the coveted spot. You want the fifth seed. You want one seed first, but the fifth seed means you're traveling to either Carolina, which we would do that trip, or to Tampa Bay. I might do that trip. And I know for people that don't travel with the Niners and stuff, that doesn't matter if we do trips or not. I understand that. I'm just trying to put that out there because I've got about 20 emails. John, would you go to this city? John, are you going to do this trip? And like, I'm doing Carolina would be the most fun, enjoyable trip. We've already done Tampa Bay twice in the past calendar year, but we would probably go back. Tampa Bay is always a good time. So beat Seattle, you're the one seed. Lose to Seattle, but the Rams lose to Arizona, you're the five seed. Not a bad consolation prize. Lose to Seattle, the Rams beat the Cardinals, then you're the six seed. Those are the only options. That's out. Very, very simple. And so, yeah, shout out to Oscar. He's the freaking man. Yeah, he outlined it right there. Oh, man, I freaking love it. And then you get into the playoff scenarios. This team wins, that team wins. You travel here, you travel there. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so freaking pumped about what is in store for the 49ers. Now, whether the 49ers have a home game, whether the 49ers go on the road, whatever else. However you get your tickets, there's only one way to do it. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Now, some interesting shout out to Shuttlewood. Do the Rams sit everyone knowing the one seed is gone? Like, the Rams have done this in the past where they don't care about seeding. You're not winning the division. You're not hosting any games, which they're not going to host games because they don't have a home stadium anyway. Like, you look at the Packers and the Rams, they are two teams that are locked in their spot. Now, the Rams could climb to 5, but no matter what, the Packers are 7. They're locked into the 7 seed. No matter what, the Rams cannot win the division, cannot win the 1 seed. Can't do it. No matter what, they have clinched a wild card berth, and that is it. They are out of contention for that. And so, like, what are they going to do? And you know, McVay and the Rams did this last year as well, where they sat players knowing this would only affect seeding. They wanted, you know, their studs to be rested and whatever else, and it worked. They went on a little run, right? So this is where it gets weird, and the chess and the, you know, whatever else. Niners aren't in that position. Niners are full force, going to do what you got to do. Go out there Saturday night. You got to play the game. Got to play the game. You play to win the game. That's what you're trying to do. That is what you try to do. Sorry, we're getting some questions here. Curious what happened in Philly other than the horrible fans. Well, like, we threw an event. We had a good time. We're walking from the event to the stadium, and we had, like, kids and whatever. Like, and so, like, you have to walk through the parking lot to get to the stadium. Like, people were throwing full beer cans at the kids that were with us and, like, women with us. So, like, that was rough. We go to the game. Game was cool. Had some people threaten me, whatever else. That's not a big deal. I can handle that. 49ers win the game. I'm walking out of the game. I get punched in the back of the head, just blindsided, just walking. And then, you know, I turn around to defend myself. Dude's just wasted off of his rear end. It's like 6 Philly fans laughing, whatever else. I'm like, all right, I don't want to get arrested. So I just, like, kind of whatever. A couple more steps, another Philly fan comes and tackles me from behind. Like, just like, I don't want to get arrested. You know what I mean? Like, I'm drinking, I'm having fun with a good time. And I don't want to throw an event where women and children come to our event and then have to go through that. If they choose to do that on their own, that's fine. But I would hate, like, everything we do is to create memorable opportunities, a great fan. Like, if we go play Philly, we're going to beat their ass. What's that going to be like after the game? That's why I'm just like, dude, I can fight and whatever else, but I don't want to spend freaking weekend in a Philly jail just because some jackass can't handle his liquor. Like, it's just not, that's not fun for me. Like, I'm not at the point in my life where I want to get in a fist fight and get arrested. I will throw my hands. I ain't got a problem with that, but, like, that ain't cool, man. I don't, like, it's just not worth it to me. I go to a lot of games and I love this fan base and I love the experience we create, but having to go through physical whatever and, like, dealing with the question of, is this worth getting arrested on? I'm never going to see this guy again. Is this worth it? And, like, yeah, they've got a stadium jail there. Yeah, shout out to my man, Mr. Kerrigan. Dude, you're the freaking man. Makes me happy whenever I see you in here. Just, it's not my thing. It's not my thing. And so, like, I can't find a positive. Whenever I go to games, I like to have a good time. I buy beers for people. I'm always having conversation with the opposing fans, respectful, all that stuff. But anyway, right here, yes, it's worth it. And yeah, it's what it is. I don't know. Dr. Mad, this is what's up. 40 hours get an amazing win, and YouTube blesses me with the algorithm. That's what's up, man. I love it. I love it. Yeah, right there. They would throw the 49er fan in jail, no question. It's just, yeah, it's not my thing. I'm going to have a good time because I freaking love it. And I don't want the issue of trying to fight. And I'm just past that, dude. I'm 40 plus years old. Are you kidding me? Like, that's not my thing. This is not my thing. And I did it. And I'm glad I did it. And I've been to 26 of the NFL stadiums, and I'm going to get all 32. And if you've never been to a Philly game, I strongly recommend you go. Go with some 49ers fans. That was kind of my problem. I went with my two Philly fans, best friends, who are awesome. But it was me, and it looked like a 49ers fan walking by himself, even though I was with two Philly fans who are my friends. And they came to, like, you know, they were ready to throw down too. And I'm just like, no, we ain't doing this. We ain't doing this. We're going out drinking. We ain't doing this. But if you do go to a Philly game, just walk with Niner fans. Stay with Niner fans. Kind of that's important. So anyway, take that for what you will. And right here, shout out to my man, Mr. Kerrigan. Hopefully it's a ride at Levi's, and I got you set up in 405. One of the greatest games I have ever been to in the history of my life was with Mr. Kerrigan and company. Shout out to Sam. That 49ers Lions NFC Championship game. I was able to sit with them. We had a wonderful time down, you know, 24-7 at the half, come back and win. And it was just such a cool experience. So I appreciate you, man. You are the best. You are the best. You are the best. My Dystopia, first live show. Welcome, my friend. Love this channel community. Red and gold, baby. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Now, let's talk through. Let's jump back a little bit. Let's go through just a couple of the performance slash grades from the game of the year, as far as I'm concerned. Definitely, if you're a 49ers fan, this is number one game of the year. 49ers offensive grades. Highest ranked player, we talked about this, Luke Farrell, played 27 out of 72 snaps. His role hasn't changed. When George Kittle went out, the 49ers learned Luke Farrell doesn't play up. Luke Farrell's a tight end too. That's just what he's going to be. And whenever you ask Luke Farrell to do tight end responsibilities, he's great. The problem was the first month of the season, you asked him to be George Kittle role. He can't do that. That's just not what he is. But whenever you ask Luke Farrell to do his job and not to play up, freaking off, 91.8 grade. He was incredible out there. 19 of his 27 snaps were run blocking and just did his damn job. There's a big reason why the 49ers rushed for 200 yards. Luke Farrell was a big, big reason for why that took place. Jake Tonjes, second with an 86 grade. Brock Purdy, 81. Burford, 81. Christian McCaffrey, 81. Now, lowest grades, and the grades really aren't that low. You start at 60. Your first snap, you start at 60 for PFF. And you only had two players grade out below, Juwan Jennings with a 57 and Kyle Juszczyk with a 58. Kyle Juszczyk was awesome. Tape was great. And you got to remember, Kyle Juszczyk has the most difficult assignment on every single play, especially run plays. It's incredible what he does. Incredible. But everybody else graded out positive. Everybody did, including Austin Pleasance, who played 71 out of 72 snaps. Tape was good, especially in the run game. Really enjoyed watching Austin Pleasance. Here we go, Tommy. I'm sorry I missed this earlier. Thank you for keeping us updated, man. We love you, and we really were feeling for you with your dad. He said dad's heart came out clean, just fractured his back. So I think that's great news. Definitely fractured your back. Not great news, but if the heart's healthy, then good things. And so thank you for keeping us up to date. And, man, just know we are with you during this, and we love you, man. And shoot, anybody going out there going through hard times, just know you don't have to do that stuff alone. That's what communities are for. And if we're not that, I don't know what the hell we are here. So, we are not an Eagles fan podcast. We are not throwing popcorn on injured people like the Seattle Seahawks. We are not those people. We are better than those people. And just want to let you know we love you, Tommy. Cam's dad, thanks for the super chat. Seems like Kyle is adapting BTR each week. Yeah, he's adapting better and better each week. Kyle Shanahan is calling unbelievable games. What he has been able to do, and again, you have to realize, no Trent Williams. He had Trent Williams for one play, and that was a pick six. That was it. You didn't have George Kittle. Don't have Brandon Ayuk. Ricky Pearsall banged up again. You got Jake freaking Tonjes. Now, you got Christian McCaffrey, but you're doing all these things with Jake Tonjes, Austin Pleasance, like, unbelievable. It is absolutely incredible what the 49ers have been able to do. It's just crazy, man. And Kyle Shanahan is at the forefront. You look at the defense that just can't do anything. Can't do anything. And you're just starting to get it done. Like, Kyle is just, golly, man. Best coaching year. He's at 12-4. There was a post where Sean Payton now joins Bill Belichick as the only coaches to have five seasons with 13 or more wins ever. 13 or more wins ever. Kyle Shanahan's a win away from doing it for the third time. He's already over halfway there. He's doing with Jake Tonjes, Austin Pleasance. Like, Kendrick Bourne, Sky Moore. Really? It's crazy what he's doing. definitely should be coach of the year. No doubt about it. Ben Johnson was the front runner for coach of the year. My bookie's pulled down the betting odds for coach of the year because things are changing. And on a lot of the platforms, Kyle Shanahan is now neck and neck and even favored to win coach of the year. I don't think the writers will give it to him because they always have to give it to the new shining coach. So stupid. But we'll see. Shanahan should be a two-time winner. You gave it to Brian Daboll, really? For winning 9 games, really? Really? Some writers should have their credentials revoked, or at least voting privileges revoked at times, because it's just such a joke, man. It's what it is. But anyway, Oscar, my man. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for the super chat. 49ers average draft position for top 11 offensive players is 160 and 161 for the top 11 defensive players. Worst among the top 8 NFC teams, yet here we are. Historically, the 49ers have not been known to draft very well early on. But then you add to it, well, you gave up 3 firsts for Trey Lance. That didn't work. You gave up 5 picks for Christian McCaffrey, which did work. And he's going to be on the positive side. But again, you gave up a 2nd, a 3rd, a 4th, a 5th. You have a lot of picks for that. So that's going to go into there. And then you look at the 5th round hits that the 49ers have had. Shoot, your left guard was a 5th round pick. Your center is an undrafted guy. Your right guard's a 3rd round pick. Colton McKivitz is a 5th round pick. George Kittle's a 5th round pick. Kendrick Bourne's, you know, undrafted. Juwan Jennings, 7th round pick. Like, come on, man. Like, good Lord. Defensively, you're playing with scraps. Tony Stark built this in a cave. like that is what it is, Oscar. And it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible what Shanahan is doing. You hope you could draft better in the first round. Now, Mikael Williams, great pick. Ricky Pearsall, I don't want to say great pick yet, but definitely not a miss. The only issue with Ricky Pearsall is just staying healthy, which you didn't think was. Played 51 consecutive college games across 2 schools without ever missing a game. Now he's injured all the time, but tough as hell. Definitely not a miss, right? Definitely not a miss. God, it's awesome what they've done this year. Thank you, Oscar. Appreciate you. Dale, my man, appreciate you in the super chat. Please take a moment to educate people on what Saleh has inherited and what he has to work with. I'd say what we're getting, you know, 1 to 3 stops a game is a miracle work. This is our team. Let's go. Why not us? It's bad. And you look at last year with Nick Sorensen when you were just the worst you were the worst team ever. And Nick Sorensen, you know, took the Cowboys were the number one special teams group in the NFL last year. Where are they at now? Let's see where they rank by special teams. And the whole reason why we're talking about this, the Cowboys were the number one team in the NFL last year, special teams. Now they're 19th. So they dropped from 1 to 19. Same all-pro kicker, same returner, same across the board. Coaching matters. And the jump from Nick Sorensen to Robert Saleh, this was not a good Robert Saleh game that we're coming off of. It was not. No sacks, no turnovers, giving up 6 touchdown drives or 5 touchdown drives. Not great. Not great, Bob. Perfect use of that meme there. Shout out Madman. You're in the position you're in because of what Robert Saleh did in the first month of the season. Those 3 wins to start the season, all of them were off of 4th quarter stops to win the game at Seattle, at the Saints, and at Arizona. All those were 1 possession games. You beat Seattle 17-13. Defense shut them down to win the game. You win at the Saints game, which was awesome, 26-21. That was 1 possession game. You win the Cardinals by 1 point. That was a 1 possession game. The win in overtime against the Rams, you got the Alfred Collins strip sack at the goal line to force overtime, and then you won by defense in overtime. The only reason why the 49ers are even in contention for not only the playoffs, but also the 1 seed, it's Robert Saleh. It is a complete coaching staff that has just changed everything. It's changed everything. And yeah, you have to just like, And I don't want to do like the blind, just Robert Saleh's incredible. This is not a good Robert Saleh game. Robert Saleh's had some horrible games. The Bears, you give up 38 points and shoot, how many total yards? 440 yards. That's not a good defensive game. They didn't have a good game plan. Did not. You look obviously against the Rams, the second time you played them, 42 points, 400 yards. Not a good game plan. The Tampa Bay Bucs, not a good game plan. But you're talking about three or four games. I'd throw the Texans game in there too, where they just freaking dominated you. Only 26 points, but 475. There's been four really bad defensive games. But you do enough. And now that the 49ers have found their personality, found their track to win games, you win games with offense, you win games with special teams, defense, you're a mess. Get a couple stops. Get a couple stops. That's all they got to do. And so you play into that. 49ers started defensively, came out and forced 2-3 and outs to start the game. You get a stop at the end of the game. That was it. That was it. You held them to a field goal one time. That was it. The same thing against, you know, the Colts. That was enough to win the game. And you're looking at, you know, the Tennessee Titans, 300 yards. Colts, 312 yards. Bears, 440 yards. You are getting schlacked consistently. Rookie, veteran, young quarter, everybody is. Are you doing enough? Are you doing enough? Sonia right here. John, I felt the same way when we won against the Cardinals. They put up 500 yards. Yeah. Cardinals had 488 yards. Like, there are issues. But look what you're playing with. Sam O starting. I love Sam O. He's one of my favorite players on this team. I've been screaming the Sam O freaking whatever since he was on the practice squad. And I think he was like number 80 or something on the 49ers rush countdown. But I was like, dude, this guy can contribute. He's starting. Sam Okwuanu has no business starting in the NFL. None. D Winners, maybe. Tatum Bethune, no. He's not a complete linebacker. He can stop the run, can't cover for anything. Jair Brown, maybe the worst safety in the NFL, if I'm going to be honest with you. He gave up two touchdowns, gave up 100-plus passing yards, can't tackle. He didn't have missed tackles, but he had some missed tackles. Like, Jair Brown just has the most negative plays of any safety in the NFL. It's not even close. There's not a number two. The most, the dude's given up touchdowns four straight weeks, two touchdowns this week, touchdown in the run game this week. Like, he's not a good player. Makes some good plays, but just like, and when the 49ers defense safety, when the 49ers defense plays well, it's because their safeties are adequate. You go to the Rams game, Texans game, like Cardinals game, this game, those safeties are bad. Bad. Bad, 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 bad. Yeah, the defense, and it's bad. But you're not playing with, like, quality players. You ain't got the ingredients. You just don't have them. Who out there, you got Alfred Collins, C.J. West. They are rising. They are getting better and better. Bryce Huff had his worst game maybe of the year. You look at just, again, defensive grades. Let's look at that now for the defense. Your highest graded player was Keon White with an 82 grade, played 28 out of 66 snaps. Tatum Bethune was second with a 73. Dude can't cover, gave up four catches on 5 yards. Stupid, two penalties. Not good. Jordan Elliott, 68 grade. Demo, 64 grade. Like, we're talking 60s. These are top five scores. Not good. Chase Lucas, 36 grade, worst graded player. Jair Brown, 37, second worst graded player. Bryce Huff, 41 grade, like a lot of really, really bad grades, just horrible grades. And the score reflects that. But if I'm going to be critical of PFF, whenever you got Brock Purdy low and Christian McCaffrey low, what is there to be critical of here? Like, we have to be consistent. You can't just change the criteria. The defense is not good. It's not consistent. It's not good. It's not going to be good. The 49ers know this. Win special teams, win offense, you're going to win games. Now, this week, and this is where it gets, you know, just a little bit different. You know, we just talked about special teams. The 49ers currently have the highest ranked special teams in the NFL. The Seattle Seahawks have been at the number one group for a long time. They're seventh. So you're talking two elite special teams, and man, Seattle Seahawks defense is freaking badass. Like, they're top five in every single way, shape, and form. Like, they're a complete team. Offense, they're ranked fourth. Defense, they're ranked fifth. Special teams, they're ranked seventh. Like, they are a holistic, well-rounded team. Now, Sam Darnold, I don't know. Camstead, appreciate Super Chat. Have we played Ciaran Neal at the safety in games? We haven't. We played Ciaran Neal at outside corner. We played Ciaran Neal at nickel. He has not taken snaps at safety for us. He's played safety in the past, but he's way down the line. The backup safeties would be Jason Pinnock and Marquise Siegel. Marquise Siegel would probably be first, and then Jason Pinnock. Those are your safeties, backup safeties, and I don't expect anything to change. It's what it is, and yeah, Sam Darnold has not been good late, and when pressure happens, but he's one of the only quarterbacks in NFL history to have back-to-back 13-win seasons. Got to give him credit there. This defense ain't scaring anybody. Like, dude, if you're Sam Darnold, you're like, oh, man, I get to breathe. There's not going to be any pressure. I think you touched Caleb Williams three times. That was it. Touched him, like, barely. I don't think the 49ers are going to develop a pass rush overnight. I do not expect to see that at all. Monkey, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the super chat. I'm a bit late. But your Ricky Chalkline joke in the breakaway had me dying. Yes. When Ricky Pearsall made his catch, his first catch of the game, they got hit the 30 yarder to the left pocket outside the numbers, just freaking broke that dude's ankles. Ricky Iverson Pearsall, he gets hit from behind. And he just like lay there to the side, like he was dead. I was like, dude, Ricky, you can't lay there like a freaking chalk outline. But yeah, thank you, Monkey, for watching and supporting. And again, if you guys don't know, every single play, offense, defense, and special teams broke down for the past four seasons. They're all there. As soon as you sign up at the 49ersrush.com or a Patreon, you get access to everything. It's $8 and you got 7-day free trial. It's what it is. It's going to be a fun week, man. This is a fun week. I hate the Seattle Seahawks. Brock Purdy hates the Seattle Seahawks. He's 6-1 against these guys. So tomorrow, hopefully, going to have the John and Wayne show. Thursday, we're going to have Coach Approach. I'll be going live Wednesday. The game is Saturday night. We've got our Zoom hangout tomorrow, 5 p.m. Pacific. I don't know if it's Pacific Standard, Pacific time, the 30th. It's our second Zoom hangout this month. I'm super excited about it. Come sign up over at the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon page. Again, free freaking trial. Check it out if you haven't done it yet. Let's go. Let's go. And right here, how do you beat Seattle? Offense, you just do your thing. You let Brock Purdy be Brock Purdy. Let him scramble. Let him freaking throw downfield. Let him do all those things. You're not going to put up 40-plus points against the Seattle defense. Let me just look right here. Let's look at the Seattle. That defense is really, really freaking good. How many times have they given up 40 points? Zero. They gave up 37 to the Rams, which was a shootout, and they gave up 38 to the Bucs. The 49ers beat them 17-13. I mean, shoot, they haven't even given up 20 points. It's a damn good defense, man. Second most points scored by an offense, second most points allowed by a defense. Like, this is a good team. The 49ers are better than them. They are. I truly do believe they're the better team. They don't have the better defense. Seahawks got a pretty damn good coaching staff, though. I will say that. But yeah, you beat it by being you. You go out there and you let your offense cook. You let your special teams do what it's got to do. Defense get 1-2 stops. Like, defense get probably going to need 4-5 stops. What you can do against Sam Darnold, you really, really can, especially if you stop the run. That's what they predicate everything on. Yeah, you can win this game. I haven't got to my Seattle film yet. I have watched their games, but there's a big difference in watching a broadcast game and rooting against them to open up the all 22 and, you know, developing a game plan, which I will be doing this week. Just haven't done it yet. So, Sin, give me some more time on that, and we're going to get you an educated answer on the coach approach Thursday with Ant and 49ers cutback and all that stuff. So that's where we'll get to that. And yeah, they did not look good against the Panthers at all. They haven't looked good for a few weeks. They beat the Rams in what was some serious Madden Hail Mary type craziness, but you got to give them credit. They did it, and 49ers are in a better place because of it. And if the rain happens, you got to play. This 49ers team is not a team that can go out there and just say, hey, we're just going to run the ball. Yeah, you just ran for 200 yards, but Seattle defense, different defense. And, you know, last time I checked the weather was supposed to stop around 1 or 2 Saturday. We'll see. And, you know, again, I'm never betting the 49ers if it's a rain game and Brock Purdy is the 49ers quarterback. Not saying you can't win. I'm just not betting it. Now, the 49ers have beaten the Seattle Seahawks in a rain game before. I was at that game, Brock Purdy's rookie year, whenever it did rain. So it's not like he can't play in the rain. He's 6-1 against Seattle. It's just, we'll have to see. As of now, the rain is supposed to stop around 2 p.m. I think it was 2 p.m., 12 or 2 p.m. On Saturday, we'll see. You can win, and you can always take advantage of Sam Darnold. That is factual. You guys are the best. Come hang out with us for our Zoom meeting tomorrow at 5. That's going to do it for us here today. Until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.